Good morning. June 16th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition includes a warning from British Columbia about cyclorphine in the unregulated supply, alongside questions about how opioid settlement money could be used in Louisville. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, Louisville Public Media reports that Louisville could use opioid settlement money, described in the piece as blood money, to cover existing expenses. In New Hampshire, NHPR reports that Governor Ayotte vetoed a bill that would have expanded cultivation of medical marijuana. And at the national level, Filter reports on what it describes as a loaded European Union public questionnaire that pushes an anti-nicotine agenda. That is one to watch if you track how public consultations can shape future regulation. Over in the Social Pulse, a drug alert from British Columbia says a new laboratory-made opioid, cyclorphine, has been detected in the province's unregulated drug supply. According to the British Columbia Center for Disease Control, cyclorphine may be up to 10 times more potent than fentanyl. If you work in overdose response, that potency signal is the detail to keep front of mind. Another post highlights that in British Columbia, including Vancouver Coastal Health and Fraser Health, the Prescribed Safer Supply, or Prescribed Alternatives Program, provides multiple pharmaceutical-grade drugs as harm reduction alternatives. A separate post reflects opposition messaging around harm reduction in British Columbia. It argues that there is no strict legal age limit for accessing supervised consumption or overdose prevention sites, and claims that 15-year-olds can legally access and inject fentanyl at those sites. A few research items also stand out this morning. One paper in Pediatric Emergency Care looks at improving naloxone and buprenorphine provision in the Pediatric Emergency Department through education and chief complaint-triggered screening. Another in the International Journal of Addiction Nursing focuses on overdose risk reduction using fentanyl test strips through education for nurse practitioners. That points to a practical training angle, not just a patient-facing intervention. And in Frontiers in Sociology, a critical perspective examines structural violence, decolonization, and harm reduction in prisons, with a focus on opioid use disorders, gender, and race. On the federal policy front, the Federal Register has published a final rule on the Medicare program that strengthens oversight of accrediting organizations and aims to prevent conflicts of interest, along with related provisions. For funding, three current federal opportunities have the same deadline of July 8, 2026. The Health Resources and Services Administration is offering Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or RCORP, impact funding. It is also offering RCORP planning funding. In addition, HRSA has the Ryan White HIV/AIDS Program Part C Capacity Development Program open through July 8, 2026. That deadline is close enough that interested teams may want to move quickly. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in activism and organizing, the Housing Not Handcuffs campaign is inviting people to join its effort opposing anti-homeless laws. Mobilize Recovery is also taking RSVPs for a virtual workshop on tough conversations. If that workshop is relevant to your work, it may be worth checking registration details soon. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.